Are you ready for a Sunday morning rapture? I sure am.
One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday morning to you, and welcome to the NTEB House Church Sunday service. We live in a time of great fear, dread of the unknown, and the grim anticipation of what lies around the corner. Wait, what? No. Back that up. Let me start again. For the born-again believer in Jesus Christ, our future has been signed in blood, sealed onto the day of redemption, and is right now awaiting deliverance into the clouds, where the Lord will soon call us up and out of here. It is I, Jesus says to us. Be not afraid. Amen. That's better. In Isaiah 52, verses 6 and 7, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Today I would like to bring you a message of hope, a sure hope, and one that can only be found in Jesus of Nazareth, the Jewish Messiah. The Apostle Peter watched in utter amazement, as did all the apostles, when Jesus walked on the water to show that he had power over everything. Peter was the only one with the guts to ask Jesus to let him try it, and guess what? Jesus answered his request and bid him come. Peter was doing just fine walking on the water right up to the moment he took his eyes off of Jesus and put them on the boisterous wind and waves. It was at that moment that Peter began to sink and needed a fresh touch from the Master to pull him up to safety. This morning, I want to bring you a fresh touch from the Master of the wind and the waves, Jesus Christ, and let it pull you up from whatever is troubling you this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, as I say these words this morning, Lord, I'm reminded of the angel of death in ancient Egypt. And he went from house to house and killing all the firstborn sons. But every house that he came to, every house that he came to that had the blood, that angel of death he couldn't touch it. So Father, we come before you this morning. Our hearts are full, Lord, because we're saved and we know that our eternity is secure. Help us today, Father. Pull us out of the sinking waves. Pull us onto the safety of the boat, Lord. Lord, today we're going to pray, and we're going to pray hard. lot of people need a touch from the Master today, Lord, me included. And we know, Lord, that you will hear and you will answer. We don't need the keys, Lord, because we have the door. And you're the door. And you say that we're safe in your hand and no man can snatch us out. And today, Lord, we're going to remind you of that promise that you made to us. And we're going to lift up our prayer requests as a church family and know that you will answer for your glory and for our good. And we commit this time to you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll have to forgive me if I'm a little emotional today. A lot going on. So many reports. COVID is interfering and intruding in so many people's lives. And today we're going to lift up people who are struggling with COVID. And we're going to ask God to give a healing. We're going to ask God to protect and to work and move as only he can. And we have some praise reports that will really encourage you today. Doesn't bother me to get emotional before the Lord. Many, many times I have watered my pillow with tears that only God could see. But my Bible says that he takes every one of those tears and he puts them in a bottle. That's the God that we serve today. And if you don't know him as your Savior, you need to. Just like Michael did last week, and Connie and Rita and Edward and Donna Lynn and June and all those people that have come to saving faith in Jesus Christ through this ministry. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. No more fooling around. No more putting it off until tomorrow. You may not have tomorrow. The Bible says, if today ye shall hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. Today, when we open that King James Bible, you're going to hear the voice of God. And I'm going to ask you to respond to it as the voice of God. Not my voice, but God's voice through his preserved word in the King James Bible. Because one day, you and I will come face to face with the God that we spend so much time talking about. And I want everybody to be ready. Glad you're here today.
My sins for all.
Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, starting in verse 35, we read this. And the same day when even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that now it was full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they wake him, and say unto him, Master, carest not thou that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I'm very emotional this morning, and you'll just have to bear with me today. There's been so much going on and so much happening, and so many negative reports, but today we have a couple of good reports as well. And it's at times like this where God reminds me 30 years ago when I put my tiny little mustard seed of trust and faith in him as Savior, March 14th, 1991. Jesus says, I'll be with you forever, even unto the end of the world. And when I go to John chapter 10, I know that Paul's our apostle. And we get our doctrine from the Apostle Paul. I'm well aware of that. But the Gospel of John is different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Gospel of John sounds very much like it was influenced, at least in places, by Paul. John chapter 10, starting in verse 27, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I believe that God exists in three persons. I believe in the doctrine of the Godhead. I believe that God the Father never leaves his throne. I believe that the Holy Spirit is everywhere. And I believe that Jesus Christ is God the Father's only begotten Son. I believe those things with every ounce of my being. And I also believe that all those things are rolled into one when I look at Jesus Christ face to face, who the Bible says is the express and manifest image of God. Now, from time to time, when I talk like that, people will accuse me of being a Jesus-only person or a oneness doctrine person, and I'm not. I believe in the Godhead. I teach the Godhead. But I also believe that all those three parts, they all come together in one place, and that one place is Jesus Christ, and that is Bible doctrine. So what do I believe? I believe both those things. I believe that God the Father heard the prayers of his son, Jesus Christ, from the Garden of Gethsemane. I believe that when John the Baptist was baptizing Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." I believe all of that. You're not going to find me teaching heresy. It's heresy if you don't know how to rightly divide, it's heresy. But if you know how to rightly divide and you understand dispensations, I'm not teaching any heresy. Jesus Christ comes together and he is the express and manifest image of God. He's the one who bore my sins on the tree in Calvary. He's the one who shed God's blood. If Jesus is not God, how did he have God's blood? That's a good question. Today, we're going to have a good old time of shouting and rejoicing and maybe even shed a few tears. Like I said, I'm very emotional today. We always say here, the war is real, the battle is hot, and the time is short. And then I call everybody to the fight. Well, we've been at this fight for quite a while. And sometimes the fight, even for the most battle-tested of soldiers, the fight can get a little overwhelming. And today we're going to pull off to the side and we're going to remind ourselves why Jesus says, "Be not afraid, it is I." Do you know that that's in the Old Testament as well? Another clue that Jesus is God. Isaiah 52:6-7. "Therefore my people shall know my name." What name is that? "Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I." Well, that's exactly what Jesus says in the Gospels. Jesus says this in Matthew 14:27. "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Mark 6:50. "For they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Luke 24:39. "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I, myself. Handle me and see. For his spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." But he saith, and John 6:20. "But he saith unto them, It is I. Be not afraid." Isn't it amazing how that name of God, "It is I," Old Testament, New Testament, 3 in 1 and 1 in 3, and the one in the middle died for me. We're going to get our eyes on Jesus Christ today. And if you're not saved, brother, sister, you better get saved. You may not have another chance to do it.
I'm glad I'm saved today.
Yes.
Chris.
Restored and made right, the God of all my life, the God Jesus, how could I want?
tested and tasted your grace.
Oh, yes,
amen. I was so lost, yes, till I fell at the cross, and God saved.
In Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 25, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everybody's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison door open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house.'" We are in the closing moments of the church age. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And as long as we find ourselves in the church age, then salvation is not of works. There's no works that you can do that would be good enough, that would be pure enough, that would be clean enough. The only thing you can do, and it's not a work, is you've got to accept the work that Jesus did on the cross. That's where your pardon was paid for. John 3:16 does not say, "For God so loves the world." John 3:16 in your King James Bible tells you, "For God so loved the world." Past tense. Why? Because the time where God demonstrated his love in the most visible and graphic manner possible, so that there could be, you know, how many times do you hear people say, "Well, if God would just send me a message, I'll believe. If God would just write in flaming letters in the sky, I'll believe." Well, God did something like that. He allowed his son, his only begotten son, to be crucified, died, and buried, and to rise again on the third day. Everybody got to see him humiliated. He stood before the court, Pilate's court. "We want Barabbas," they said. Everybody saw Jesus mocked with a crown of thorns. Everybody watched him drag that cross all the way to Golgotha. Everybody watched him put up on that cross. Everybody watched him get 5 bleeding wounds. Everybody watched that Roman soldier stab that spear into his heart. Everybody watched him die. And then hundreds of people testified to his resurrection. You want flaming letters in the sky? I'll give you something better. I'll give you Jesus Christ high and lifted up on the cross at Calvary to buy your pardon.
Cross for crimes he had done. The thief was guilty, everyone could see. But his destiny was changed as he looked at Christ and said, "When your kingdom comes, remember me." Said, "Friend, how did you come? What are the deeds you have done?" With tears in his eyes, I can hear him reply, "There are no merits to my name, no works that I can claim. He who brought me here told me to stay."
The price I know he paid.
By his grace, I too can say.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these hundreds of people that you've gathered here this morning, Lord, and the thousands that will listen to this program in the archives, Lord. Let there be something said today, Lord, that would lead a lost soul to you. Let there be something said today, God, that would lead a saved soul to want to get back on fire for you today, God. And Lord, we come before you with a full plate of prayer requests. And I hope that everybody who's listening to this program live right now would just take a moment and stop chatting just while we pray to really bow your heads wherever you're listening. Maybe you're listening in a hospital bed. Maybe you're listening on a front porch. Maybe you're listening in a car. If you're driving, pull over. But wherever you're listening, the prayer requests are so important. And each show that we do, they're getting bigger and bigger because the need is getting greater and greater. So let's come before the Lord as the church family. And let's lift up our prayers and our praise and our petition with thanksgiving, as the Bible says. Let your prayers and petitions be made known unto the Lord with thanksgiving. And that's why we start every program that we do, by thanking God for his goodness and his mercy. One of the reasons why I was so emotional at the start of the program today, we've been praying for a woman named Beth. And she came into the bookstore about 5-6 weeks ago. And she came in with her daughter and her friend Karen. And they spent about 45 minutes. I had a great conversation with all three of them. And they left. And then, as you know, Karen let everybody know that Beth came down with COVID. And she was put into the hospital up in Jacksonville. And she was there. She's still there. But the first couple days that she was there, her oxygen dipped down to about 90%. And she really struggled. And if you remember, we prayed for her on every program. We put her at the top of our list. Well, one of the reasons why I got so emotional this morning is a text message came across my phone while the service was going on. I want to read this message to you. We're going to start with a praise report today. Good morning, Jeff. I just wanted to let you know that I am listening live on my phone from my COVID bed at Baptist South. Thanks to you and this wonderful NTEB community for the continued prayers. They are lifting me up. Beth. Now that is good news. The woman that we've been praying so hard for, she's getting the victory in her battle with COVID. Her oxygen levels are up. She feels good enough that she sent me a 3-sentence text message with exclamation points. Now that's what I call a praise report. And we do. We thank God for giving Beth the victory. And we're not going to take her off the list until she's home and completely out of the woods. So please keep Beth in your prayers. Her oxygen is rising. And that's the Lord is what that is. Harmon's son, Michael, battling pancreatic cancer. Lori D. in Pennsylvania. Jacqueline in New Mexico, Chelsea on the West Coast. The Lord knows what the needs are there. Cheryl D. is in the hospital with COVID. This is Lori Ann's friend up in Maine. Still in the hospital, but getting better. We've been praying for the Broski family. 6 people with COVID there for the last 2 weeks. Update. The entire Broski family is nearly over COVID. My old pastor, Daniel King, he is doing much, much better as well. And other people in Bible Baptist Church in St. Augustine, they're battling it, and God is giving the victory. But please keep them in your prayers. Patty was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and she wants us to pray that it would be benign. Hal needs a lung transplant, but the hospital won't give him the operation until he takes the vaccine. We're still praying for Mark Bennett's wife, Anita, and their son, Kingsley, Shauna's dad, who is battling stage 4 cancer, Robin Marlin battling COVID, Michael from Ohio asking prayers for his friend Jamie's wife, who is in the ICU, Jeanette and her parents' health. We have a praise report update on the 13th, 2 days ago. Jeanette's mom came home from the hospital, and that's a real blessing. We're going to talk about Pastor John Rees' radio ministry in the Philippines. I have amazing news there. Malia McLean wants prayers for her health and protection from COVID. Chick Publications, they've been closed all week last week because their COVID is going through there. Ken Shiner is a man that is the father of one of my son's best friends, and he lives just blocks away from where I'm broadcasting. And he's been hospitalized and on a ventilator with COVID for the past 15 days. If you're writing that down, I want you to put a star next to Ken Shiner's name. Just the way that when we started praying for Beth, I'm like, no, 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 no. And Beth is getting better. Now I need you to keep praying for Beth and put a star next to Ken Shiner's name. We need a victory there. COVID has absolutely come close to home. One of the people who work for me, her boyfriend was diagnosed with COVID on Friday. She is now showing symptoms. I am praying that I don't get it, but it looks like I've been really, really close to it. So please keep my employee, her name is Megan, and I don't know her boyfriend's name, but please pray for both of them that they can win this battle and that God would give them the victory. Pray for Megan's salvation, that she would get saved, that her boyfriend would get saved. Like I told you, the prayer requests they're stacking up today. And that was just the bullet point list. I haven't even touched the ones from the chat room this morning. Ron Wooter, please pray for my two grown daughters. They're alcoholics. Something that I can relate to. I've been an alcoholic my whole life. Both are at But God Save Me, and I'm sober. And I've been sober for years. But that's only God. That's not me. That's not AA. That's not willpower. That's not self-control. That's God. Ron says, both are alcoholics struggling through life. My oldest daughter has been in rehab many times. Now she's suicidal. My younger daughter has her drinking under better control, and she tries to study her King James Bible. But she's being pulled into strange doctrines, he says, like the serpent seed theory, and that the white race is one of the lost tribes of Israel. Serpent seed theory. Bad. The white race is not any of the lost tribes of Israel. So Ron is praying for his two daughters today. He has a burden. He says, I meet with her every week for Bible study. I'm going to go over to her house after the broadcast. Please pray that the Lord will help me keep our study time focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Both my daughters have been saved, which is a blessing, but they're in various stages of backsliding. Again, another thing that I can relate to. I understand what it's like to backslide. I understand what it's like to give in to temptation. I've done it far too often. But God gives us the victory in Jesus Christ, and onward and upward we go. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Now, if you're not saved, that verse is not for you. Confessing your sins won't get you saved. But if you are saved, confessing your sins to God, Jesus Christ is our mediator. Not a priest, not a pastor, not a bishop, not a rabbi. Jesus Christ is our mediator. For there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. But if you're saved, 1 John 1:9 gets you clean. Bible promise. Connie Hallmark says, and Connie got saved here 2 weeks ago. My daughter is on her way up from Texas. Please pray that she gets here safe and her RV doesn't have any problems. Amen, Connie. Connie sent me a very nice letter yesterday saying how important this ministry is to her. Made me cry when I read it. Sherry A. says, can we please pray for the earthquake victims in Haiti? That's a big one. Thousands of people died yesterday. Aunt Nancy said, prayers please for my sister and husband. My sister's office has many out with COVID. Michael said, prayers for my friend to give her strength to put in a religious exemption at work against the mask and vaccine tyranny at her work. And prayers for myself. No, this isn't Michael. This is Henertz 13. Sometimes I get confused when there's not real names on the people who are chatting, but that's okay. Hanertz 13 says, prayers for myself to be strong for my husband, mental strength. His grace is enough for me. Praying for continued healing for my son, Danny, from COVID. Praise God. Amen. Chris says, apartment coming up on September 10th. Please pray I get it in time to get out of New York City. Lori Ann, please pray for my Uncle Don. He just heard the gospel. Amen. Pray that he receives it. Patty says, my aunt in Florida and my uncle died of COVID on Friday. Our hearts are broken. I tell you, COVID is like the angel of death. Finn Capistrano, please pray for my Philippine City of Manila mayor and vice mayor, as they're now contracted with COVID-19. Heal, bless, and open their eyes to the true gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ. From Lulu, my son's friend from church, his wife passed away from COVID before my son got to the hospital. They have 4 children. Please pray for him to get over COVID and pray for the family. Barbara says, prayer for Tom, who is a Christian, does not have the vaccine. He needs a medical procedure. He needs God to intervene so he won't be forced to take the vaccine. Pray for peace for his wife, Anne. They need to get answers from God. Kyle Gorzel says, there is an overwhelming amount to get done around us, but I am not wanting the flesh to get in the way. Please pray for boldness and courage over my wife as I preach the gospel to those around us. Giacomino is going in for surgery on the 31st, about 2 weeks. Prayer request that all would go well. Cher says, please pray for my grandson, Shane, hanging around with the wrong crowd. We've got to get him hanging around with the right crowd. Chrissy says, prayers for my urologist visit Wednesday to check my one kidney. I pray that there is no more cancer. Amen. D. Pitts, 1985, pray for my son in New York and my daughter in Fort Lauderdale, both with COVID. Gary, 33, praise report. My friend has been recovering well from car accident. Please keep prayers coming. Thank you. Lola said, prayers for my son and daughter-in-law. God knows the need. Mary says, when I went to Pennsylvania to see my mom and brother, he's retired Navy. His daughter in Navy got too beat up by her husband. She shot him. He died. Now she's up for murder. Wow. Please pray for her. Shayla Clark, listening live in Brazil. Please pray for my husband Glenn Henry's salvation and an unspoken prayer request for myself. Tina says, request prayer for my fiance. He got the vaccine. If you would like to be on the list of all the notes from every program that we do, which includes the prayer requests, send an email to Jeanette, J-A-N-E-T-T-E, at nowtheendbegins.com, and she'll be very, very happy to put you on the list. And you will get that every time we have a program. She sends out a Word document, all the notes, the songs, the prayer requests, the praise reports. She does an amazing job, and she's been doing it here for 10 years now. And if you want to be on that list, just send her an email, Jeanette at nowtheendbegins.com. This is what the needs are today. I also want you to remember Pastor Johnry in the Philippines. After we pray, I'm going to give an update on his amazing ministry in the Philippines and how God is using all of us to water and plant seeds where they are in the Philippines. Heavenly Father, we lift up all these prayer requests and these praise reports. Take every bit of fear and uncertainty out of our hearts today, Lord. Your word says, it is I, be not afraid. We're inviting you to come in today, Lord. Your word says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Be in our midst this morning, Lord. Be the refining fire. Purge us, Lord. Cleanse us. Make us clean. If there's anybody listening who's not saved, Lord, they need to get saved. Put that on their heart. I need to see somebody get saved again soon, Lord. That encourages me so much. But more important than that, more important than us being encouraged, is lost people not going to hell. So, Father God, for all these prayers and these praises, meet with us here now this morning, Lord, and do for us that which only you can do. Your word, Lord, says that when we put our trust and faith in you, that you have sealed us unto the day of redemption. And death can't break that seal. That seal stays in place until we see you face to face. That's pretty good. That seal stays in place till we see you face to face. We love you, Lord, and we're so glad and we're so grateful. And we love you with all our hearts today, Father God. And it's thrilling, Lord, that Beth, from her COVID bed, as she says, is listening. She feels good enough to listen to the broadcast today. That is very, very encouraging. Please get her home soon, Lord. Get her back with her husband and her daughter. Get her back with her family. And we'll give you all the honor and the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Nihal Pereira says, joining this great ministry every week from Sri Lanka. I pray for the wisdom for Jeff and all who are involved in this ministry. I love it that this broadcast is not just listened to in America, but in dozens and dozens and dozens of countries around the world. Now, before we get started with the message today, I want to tell you, most of you know who I'm about to talk about right now, but I want to give you an update on Pastor Johnry Mulabe Caballero, and he is the pastor in the Philippines at Panabo City. He is the pastor of the Nehemiah Bible-Believing Baptist Mission. And God has called him to a work where he lives. Pastor Johnry has given everything he has, his own money, in order to be able to do his ministry. Well, he reached out to Lori Ann about a year ago, maybe less than a year ago, and he said that he had a ministry, and he heard us talk about the free Ruckman Reference Bible and Gospel Tract program, and he heard about that and said, could you please send us a case of Ruckman Reference Bibles and a case of Gospel Tracts? Well, I had no idea with all these COVID regulations how hard it was going to be to get that package delivered to the part of the Philippines where he lives. It took about 6 or 7 weeks just for the package to get there. We had to pray that package through because the people in customs didn't want to let him have it, and it went back and forth and back and forth. We wound up spending about $500 in Bibles and gospel tracts and about $700 in shipping and fees and customs and duties and whatever else. It was hands down the most expensive single shipment that we ever had, where the shipping was $700. But was it worth it? Oh, brothers and sisters, I'm going to give you an update right now that's going to tell you how worth it, all that work, 6, 7 weeks, and paying all those fees, and praying those Bibles and tracts through to Pastor John Ree. He has a mission, and now they're starting a church. If you understand the difference between a mission and a church, Now the End Begins is a mission. Now the End Begins is a ministry. Now the End Begins is not a church. We are the church. But there is no NTEB brick and mortar NTEB Bible Baptist Church anywhere. We are a ministry. Well, we started working with Pastor John Ree. Lori Ann was the connection between him and myself. And we've gotten to know Pastor John Ree, and he is absolutely, I'm always talking about people who are on fire for the Lord. Pastor John Ree is incredibly on fire for the Lord, and I'm going to share some pictures in the chat room right now. And if you're not in the chat room and you'd like to be there, just go to ntebradio.com, and that will pull up the page where the chat room is. All you have to do is go to ntebradio.com. Well, I made the announcement about 3 weeks ago that Pastor John Ree had laid on my heart for him to start preaching on the radio in the Philippines. And I prayed about it, and God said, you help him. And I sent the notice out to all of you, and I said, anybody who wants to get in on helping Pastor John Ree get on the radio, send me a donation and we'll get him on the radio. Well, many of you responded, and let me tell you what we're doing with the money that you sent in. We have paid. He has already received this money. We have given him enough money to be on the radio 2 or 3 times a month for the next year. We have given him enough money that he can pay for his electric bill in his, because he's building a church right now. We have already prepaid his electric bill for the next year. He is buying chairs and uniforms for his kids, for his school kids. He has a Bible school. And we are paying for all those things because God put it on your heart to help this saint of God get something done in the Philippines. Well, Pastor John Ree was blown away. And that's an understatement. He had tears in his eyes. Pastor John Ree was blown away with the support that we gave him. And he wants, as he's building his new church, they're in the process of getting a building, putting up a building. He wants it to be the NTEB joint church with his Nehemiah Bible Believers Baptist mission. And so the really incredible news that I have for you guys is that because you guys are faithful and you guys give money, takes money, but because you guys are faithful, I want you to wrap your head around the fact that there is now an official NTEB street preaching, rightly dividing ministry in Panabo City in the Philippines. That's because you give and you pray. A lot of the times people will write to me and say, brother, I can't do anything. I don't have any money. And I always respond with that great story about the two women who prayed Dwight Moody all the way to their church from America to England. And the one woman, not only didn't she have any money, she was sick and couldn't get out of bed. And her prayers brought the greatest evangelist since the Apostle Paul to her house. No telephones, no telegraph, no nothing. She prayed Moody to her house. True story. So if all you can do is pray, I want you to double your prayers. Because God is listening and things are getting done. If you're one of those people who can give, I have a couple up in Georgia, Bill and Marilyn. Every single month they send me a check and we buy a number of cases of Ruckman Reference Bibles. Every month they send that check and every month we spend every penny of it. And we buy those Bibles and we send them out. If you're in a position where you can give, give more, and we'll do more. Whatever you can do for the Lord, do more. Do as much as you can. And in the midst of all this horrific news and everybody having COVID and all these problems and struggles and trials and all these different things, to think about how God is using us to establish a church, we're helping to plant Pastor John Rees Church in the Philippines. Now, if you would have asked me when God put on my heart to start Now the End Begins 12 years ago, if I ever thought that it would get big enough where we could plant churches in foreign countries, I would have looked at you like you were insane. That's a hard thing to do. But with God, it's pretty easy. Because God's doing it all. God's putting on your heart to give. You give it. We send it out. But we're doing more than just giving them money. We're providing mentoring. We're providing encouragement. Now Pastor John Rees has an ally in America. Now the End Begins. And we're helping him in every way possible. So, he told me yesterday in his children's church, and these are some of the sweetest little faces that you'll ever see in your life. In his children's service yesterday, and you'll see it's not in a church. He doesn't have a church yet. We are helping him get that church started. They're just meeting in an outside, it looks like a patio, under a gazebo. But he had a little kid get saved yesterday. I want you to think about that. Because if you're giving, we're helping a church get started in a place that I'll probably never get to visit, Panabo City in the Philippines. Because if you're giving, We're supplying them with Ruckman-referenced study Bibles, cases of gospel tracts that they hand out on the streets. We're paying for their electricity. We're paying for him to preach on the radio. And all that money that we're investing, guess when we get to reap the harvest of that money? I want you to think about it now. This investment that we're making, and not just in Pastor John Rhee, we are doing similar things all over the place. But I want you to think for just a second, all this money that we're investing in sending out free Bibles and free gospel tracts in Spanish and in English, helping a church to get started and doing all this great stuff, when do you think we get to reap the rewards of our investment at the judgment seat of Christ? So I just wanted to take a moment and I wanted to tell you, if you don't think every once in a while, not every once in a while, quite often, somebody will send me an envelope. I got an envelope a couple of days ago with a very encouraging letter, and it had a $1 bill inside. We get a lot of donations for $1 and $5 and $10 and $20. We get a lot of those. And they're just as important as the big checks that we also need to do large-scale things. It's all important. But whatever you give and whatever you pray for and whatever you do, God is multiplying that. That little boy who came with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, do you think he had any idea that he was going to feed 5,000 men, their wives, and their children? Have you ever stopped to think about that? The miracle of the 5,000? There was a lot more than 5,000 people there that day. There were whole families there. And all that Jesus needed was the faith of a little child. And now we're going to get into the message. All that Jesus needed was the faith of a little child and just a little bit of bread and just a little bit of fish. And Jesus said, it is enough. You know, when the apostles were with him, when the apostles were with him on the ship, turn to Matthew chapter 14. When the apostles were with him on the ship, they were disciples at this point. And I want you to imagine what it must have been like for them being tossed about on the sea. Have you ever been on a boat that was in trouble? Matthew 14, 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But now the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. So the first thing that I want you to notice, Jesus Christ, for him, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, no problem. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. He stinketh, Lord. That's what they told him. Martha said, if you would have been here, she accused him. If you would have been here, Lord, my brother wouldn't have died. Have you ever accused the Lord? Jesus, if you just... Lord, if you... Have you ever accused the Lord? Martha did. Martha said to Jesus Christ, if you would have been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. And what did Jesus say to her? Your brother shall rise again, he says in John 11:23. Well, Martha gives the checkbox answer, no problem. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Martha must have read Zechariah chapter 14, Isaiah chapter 66. She must have read Amos and Habakkuk. She definitely read Daniel. She absolutely read the book of Job. What does the book of Job say? It's pretty good stuff in Job 19. Job 19:23. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. Job got that prayer answered. That they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Do you think that Martha, read that passage from the book of Job? I think maybe she was acquainted with it. Because she says, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And then Jesus drops the bomb. John 11:25. John 11:25. Jesus saith unto her, oh boy, wrap your heads around this. If you're not saved today, get a hold of this. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this, Martha? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Somebody asked me after one of the Bible studies a few weeks ago, when I said that salvation was a person. It's not an experience. It's not a feeling. It's not saying the right words. It's not saying the sinner's prayer. It's not getting the right sacraments or having the Eucharist. Or praying in a certain way or at a certain time. Or kneeling or standing. Salvation is Jesus Christ. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection. That's pretty good stuff, don't you think? He wasn't telling her how her brother was going to be resurrected. He was telling her who was going to be resurrecting her brother. And when you think about the biblical doctrines of salvation, and sometimes the brethren will just fight and argue with each other, and everybody will strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Everybody wants to split hairs on how people get saved. Can I make it simple for you today? Can I make it easy for you? I'm not a scholar. I'm not a Greek scholar. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. Can I make it painfully simple for you today? Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Have you ever stopped to consider the very large volume of writing that the Apostle Paul did, that the Holy Spirit did through the Apostle Paul, and all the amazing things of the ministry of the Apostle Paul? And when that Philippian jailer in Acts 16, he realizes that none of those prisoners ran away. And a miracle has taken place. To that Philippian jailer, the miracle was not the walls falling down. The miracle was not the chains falling off of the prisoners. Not to the jailer. To the Philippian jailer, the miracle that he saw was that when the prisoners had the chance to run away, they didn't. Because under Roman law, if you were a jailer and you lost your prisoners, you lost your head. The punishment for incompetence and malfeasance was swift and brutal and immediate. So, have you ever stopped to consider when that Philippian jailer, he breaks into the place where Paul and Silas are? Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, if he was in a typical church, typical even a Baptist church, they would have talked him to death. Paul got right to the heart of the matter. He didn't start to explain complex, eschatological, hermeneutical. What does the Greek say? What does the Hebrew say? No. Paul got right to the heart of the matter. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Hey, Martha, it's real sad that your brother died. And I'm about to shed real tears over the death of your brother, and then I'm going to speak him back to life. Because from my perspective, he's not dead. He's only dead from your perspective. The apostle said, "Behold, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him?" This is Jesus Christ. I am not giving you doctrine based on any denomination. Have nothing against the Baptist Church. I've been a Baptist a long time. But I don't need to be a Baptist as much as I need to be a Bible believer. That's what I need to be. Because the last time I checked, the only thing in heaven were redeemed people. I read my scriptures. I don't see one denomination, not any denomination. All I see is born again, blood bought, blood washed, redeemed sinners. That's all I see in heaven. Matthew chapter 14. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Oh boy, wouldn't you be troubled? They were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Now, a lot of the times we get, onto Peter. We're always bringing up the times that three times he betrayed the Lord. We're always talking about how he took the sword and cut off Malchus's ear. We're always talking about when Jesus said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things which be of God." We give Peter a hard time. Paul rebuked Peter to his face for being a hypocrite with the Gentiles. But let me tell you something. In Matthew 14, 28, there's only one person who even has the guts to attempt it. Matthew 14, 28, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto the water." Is that what you would have said? You're not sure if it's Jesus, you're not sure if it's a spirit, you're not sure if it's the devil, you don't know what it is, and it's dark and it's windy and the ship is going from side to side. I want you to think about the fact that the vast majority of the disciples were commercial fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector, and Judas was a devil. But the vast majority of the disciples were commercial fishermen. Have you ever seen that show, The Deadliest Catch? Have you ever seen how rough those guys are? They try and clean it up a little bit for the reality show. But those guys are on the rough side. Don't you think that Peter, James, and John, Philip, whoever the fishermen were, don't you think that they were a little bit on the rough side? I think they were. I think they had seen lots of storms. But there was something different about this storm. They were afraid. Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come on." He said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So here you have Peter and Jesus walking on the water together. But then Peter did something that you and I do far too often. And I want to encourage you today. Instead of keeping his eyes on Jesus Christ, verse 30 says, "But when he saw the wind boisterous," I love those King James Bible words, "but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" That's pretty good. That'll work. You're asking the right person to perform the right action on you. "Lord, save me." You know, when I got saved 30 years ago, my prayer wasn't a whole lot longer than that. I said, "Lord, save me. Don't let me go to hell. I want to see you." And I remember specifically saying, "If you want the broken pieces of my life, you can have them." And I gave my life to Jesus Christ 30 years ago. And it really wasn't more complicated than, "Lord, save me." And now here I am 30 years later. God's given me the desire of my heart, which is always to be in full-time ministry. And God gave that to me, and I praise him for it. And I know so much more about the Bible than I did 30 years ago. Learning every day, studying every day. But compared to what I knew 30 years ago, wow, God's shown me a lot. But guess what? You got to keep it simple. "Lord, save me." You're reading his word. You come across a passage that doesn't make any sense to you. "Lord, show me." You're struggling with something right now. "Lord, help me." I understand that it doesn't tickle your ears the way that some present the high things of God, and the Greek says this and the Hebrew says that. I almost never do that. And the reason I don't do that is because that's not the ministry that God called me to. God tells me, make it simple, make it plain. Put the cookies on the bottom shelf so everybody can grab them. "Lord, save me," Matthew 14:30. And immediately, oh man, I like that. "Lord, save me," and immediately, "Lord, save me," and immediately, "Amen, Lord." "Lord, save me," and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" If you want a blessing, spend some time this afternoon in the last three words of Matthew 14:30 and the first three words of Matthew 14:31. Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus. Oh, man, that's good. Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus. When I was talking with Michael last week, who got saved on the Friday podcast, one of the things that he told me on the phone really surprised me. He said that he had been listening for about a year, never commented in the chat room, just listened. And then one day, he heard something that made him realize he needed to ask the Lord to save him. And man, did we have a shouting time last Friday. Not 2 days ago, but last week. Lord, save me, and immediately Jesus. Man, I'm going to put that on a t-shirt. How many times have I read that passage and never made that instantaneous connection? The last three and the first three. Lord, save me, and immediately Jesus. Man, that's good preaching. John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Do you realize that Jesus Christ is so powerful? Now, I think that's a pretty good trick, that he can walk on the top of waves and freak everybody out. I think that's a pretty good trick. I think it's a pretty good trick that Jesus can take 6 firkins of water and turn it into the most amazingly delicious non-alcoholic wine that you've ever tasted. I think that's a pretty good trick. I think it's a pretty good trick to take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed about 8,500 people. That's a great trick. But here's a better trick. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Here it is. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I want you to think about that, and if it's okay with you, we're going to go about an extra 10 minutes today, because I still have a little bit more to say about Jesus Christ. If it's okay with you, we're not going to quit right at 12:30. We're going to go an extra 10 minutes or so. So hopefully nobody leave. Feeding the 5,000 was a really good trick. Walking on water, that's really, really good. Turning water into wine, that's really good. Healing Peter's mother-in-law, that's pretty good. Raising yourself from the dead, now that's something. Well, that's what Jesus says in John chapter 10. Before you go and accuse me of teaching some more heresy, John chapter 10, verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Jesus says, you can't kill me until I'm ready to go. And when I am ready to go, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. I want you to think about that. If you're struggling with something today, if you're in a hospital bed and you're fearful today, if you've been recently diagnosed with COVID and you're fearful today, maybe you're facing eviction. Maybe you're facing getting fired from your job due to whatever regulations. Whatever it is that has you afraid today, whatever it is that has you fearful today, I want you to think about this. Lord, save me, and immediately Jesus. Now, how does that apply if you're already saved? Lord, save me from my fear and my doubt and my worry and my anxiety. And immediately Jesus. Lord, save me from focusing on the wind and the waves and taking my eyes off of you. And immediately Jesus. Lord, save me from myself. And immediately Jesus. Lord, make me bold. Make me go out into the highways and the hedges and hand out those gospel tracts. Look people in the eye with the best message in human history. Jesus saves. Lord, help me to be bold. And immediately Jesus. Lord, show me how to witness to my children. They're struggling. They're backslidden. Some are unsaved. Lord, help me, give me power. And immediately Jesus. Lord, help me with my unsaved spouse. I know your word says I shouldn't marry somebody who's unsaved, but I did anyway. And now I need you to fix it, God. Lord, you save me, save them. And immediately Jesus. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm getting a hold of this. I hope that this is doing something for you because it's doing something for me. And immediately, Jesus. That's the God that we serve. He's not playing games. You shouldn't play games either. C.T. Studd said, only one life 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. You don't think that C.T. Studd had struggles? He had plenty of struggles. You go and read his whole biography. It's not all peaches and cream. C.T. Studd struggled. But guess what? He got it right when he said, only one life 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Why do we care about a church in the Philippines with people that we'll probably never meet in this life? Why do we care if they have seats for their Sunday school lessons? Why do we care if the children have uniforms or not? Why do we care if they have Bibles or not? Because that's what God has called us to do. And when God has called you to do something, immediately the devil is going to step in and he's going to say, no, 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 you don't. And the response is not just the knee jerk, not today, Satan. I mean, I use that from time to time. That's pretty good. But that's not Bible. Bible is, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus. Now, what I want you to think about today, when you apply this preaching to your life, I want you to think about it from just two simple, easy perspectives. What can this do for me as a child of God? Lord, save me, and immediately Jesus. I want you to see how you can apply that to your life. We are living in a time of great uncertainty and struggle and fear and doubt. The entire world is literally coming apart at the seams. On the podcast tomorrow, Lord willing, We're going to be talking about some hardcore, heavy-duty, end times, end-of-the-world stuff. But if you're saved, you and I have a different road to travel on than the fearful masses who are constantly looking over their shoulder, not knowing if they're going to have another breath, not knowing what tomorrow brings. Now, I don't know if I'm going to have another breath, but I know who gives me breath. Lord, save me, and immediately Jesus. I don't know if my heart's going to hold out another day. I've been under a lot of stress lately. And that's, when I tell you that, that's an understatement. I don't know if my heart's going to hold out, but I know who beats, who keeps my heart beating. Lord, save me, and immediately Jesus. So I want you to think about this message and how you can apply it to your life so that you can take your eyes off of the wind and the waves and get your eyes on the master of the wind and the waves, and that's Jesus Christ. That's step one. Step two, after you've done step one, I want you to bring this message to somebody else who's struggling. I want you to think about going into a restaurant and having a nice meal, and then before you go, you get a takeout order for a friend of yours who couldn't be there. Step one is feeding yourself with what we're talking about this morning. That is step one. And after you have fed yourself with, Lord, save me, and immediately Jesus, I want you to then pray, Lord, open up a door that I can bring this to somebody else, that I can be of comfort and of good cheer to somebody else. You know, when Beth sent me that text message at 11:12 this morning, she thanked us for lifting her up in prayer. She thanked us for supporting her as she's struggling and she's getting better. And it's so exciting to watch God work and move and heal her. When God gives you something good from His Word, after you've feasted on that, and after you have used that to nourish and sustain and strengthen yourself, then I want you to go and give it to somebody else, somebody who needs to hear it. Now, you might say to me, I'm not a preacher. I'm not good with words like you are. You don't have to be. You take your King James Bible, you open it up to Matthew chapter 14, and what we're talking about is true in our dispensation as it was true in the kingdom dispensation that was currently underway in Matthew chapter 14. I haven't said anything this morning that is not 100% in line with Pauline doctrine. So once you have fed yourself, I want you to take Matthew chapter 14, and I want you to take it to a friend, and I want you to start in verse 22, and then I want you to read them down to verse 31, and I want you to point out that he was in trouble. He cried out to God, Lord, save me, and immediately Jesus. If that's not the best thing that I have heard in a long time, I don't know what is. You know, it's funny. You can read the same passage dozens of times, hundreds of times. You can read the same passages over and over and over and over. And then every once in a while, God will say, well, if you look at that last, look at those last three words. Now, connect them with those next first three words, and what do you have? I can't tell you how many times I have read this passage in Matthew 20, in Matthew chapter 14. But today, God knew, and you remember how emotional that I was, at the start of this broadcast. I've been emotional the entire time. But I have read this passage a lot. And today, for the very first time, God broke off the last three words, and he broke off the first three words of the next verse. He held the first three in one hand, the second three in the other hand, and put those hands together, and he said, "Child, my son, my little lamb, my little sheep, this is for you today." Because God knew that I needed something today. But not just me. God knew that we all needed something today. When Beth sent her text message, that was like getting a B12 shot. But I'll be honest with you, it was overwhelming. I really needed to hear from the Lord today. And he heard me, and he answered me. "Lord, save me," and immediately Jesus. I want you to think about that today. And after you've feasted on that and absorbed that and prayed through that and cried through that, six little words, "Lord, save me," and immediately Jesus. After you've gotten all that you can get from that, Patty says that would be a great billboard idea. And I think we're going to do that. I think I'm going to start making that billboard tomorrow, Lord willing. "Lord, save me," and immediately Jesus. That's the answer. Doesn't matter what the question is. You know that we prayed for a lot more people than just people with COVID. COVID gets all the attention. But if you remember, Harmon's son Michael is battling pancreatic cancer. Patty has a brain tumor. Hal needs a lung transplant. Shea Castor had surgery. G. Camino is going to have surgery. Jeanette's mom and dad are dealing with heart issues. Jeanette has sciatica. None of these things have anything to do with COVID. And yet they're very, very urgent, very serious. But whatever the question is today, and I'll leave you with this. Whatever the question is today, I want you to remember the answer from the Bible, not from me. This is not my intelligence or that I'm good with writing words or anything like that. I'm just dumb enough to believe that after God saved me, he can do something with me. I'm just simple-minded enough to believe that if I ask God for something that's according to his word, he'll do it, because that's a Bible promise. And what God gave me this morning, what he gave to all of us, is very, very simple. You don't need any Greek at all. You don't need any Hebrew. You don't even have to open up your Strong's Concordance. "Lord, save me," and immediately Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. "Lord, save me," and immediately Jesus. That's our prayer today, Lord. In these trying times, in these troublesome times, Lord, we're not going to quit. We're not going to leave the front lines. And when those around us start to fall, we're going to hold them up. We're going to pray them up. And we're going to ask, Father God, that it be done unto all of us according to your glory and for our good. Thank you, God, for all the praise reports this morning. I thank you, God, for all the prayers. It is an honor and it's a privilege that we can come before you and we can pray as a church family. This is not a church, but we are the church. And we understand the difference. But we thank you, Father God, for everything that you're doing. Keep us safe, Lord. Keep me safe. Don't let COVID take me down. I don't even want to stop a single broadcast, Lord, as all of this swirls around me. I pray for my employee, Megan, and her boyfriend, Ken Shiner, who's on a respirator in the ICU. We need you to work and move, God, as only you can. The war is real, and the battle is hot, and the time is almost gone. The war is real, and the battle is hot, and the time is short. Lord, you've called us to this fight. You said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. Our apostle Paul says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Rebuke, reprove, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Give us strength for the battle. Help Pastor John Ree in the Philippines. Lord, we want to continue to be a blessing to him. We want to see that church fully get built and come online and use us in any way to get that done, Father God. We rejoice with the one that got saved yesterday in their Sunday school. And we pray, Lord, that you'll give Pastor John Ree many more souls for his labor. And we pray, Father God, that many more souls here through this ministry, through Now the End Begins, will continue to get saved. Lord, bind the devil. It must have been a terrifying thing in Egypt when that angel of death came around. But Lord, we who are saved, we have put the blood of your son on the doorpost. And that angel can't touch us, Lord. That death angel has no power where the blood is. Cover us under the blood, Lord. Wash us clean from everything that does stain and offend. Draw us closer to you. Give us courage. Give us strength. Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus. And we thank you. We praise you, God. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, I thank you so much for going longer today. Today was maybe one of the most emotional sermons I've ever given in my life, except for maybe the very first one all those years ago. But today we're going to trust God. We're going to trust his son, Jesus Christ, and we're going to remember that we are sealed unto the day of redemption. And if you're not saved, get saved. Go back and listen to everything that we said in this broadcast. Salvation is not something you do. Salvation is someone that you meet. Jesus Christ, for whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of the Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
Do you remember when you were drowning in the sea of sin, going down for the last time, when you called upon his name? He reached out his name. Amen.
all your heart you long to serve Him.
But you didn't think that
Jesus could use someone like you.
Oh, but look how He's used your life
since He's brought you.
Same.